It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
It is my joy to be with you today on The Line of Fire. I am the product of revolution. I'm the product of a counterculture revolution that almost destroyed my life, a Jesus revolution that saved my life, and I'm looking to see a fresh, holy move of God that will awaken the church this day so the church can change the world in the power of the Spirit. Michael Brown, thank you for joining us today on The Line of Fire. Let me first welcome our new listeners, WNIV Atlanta. Hey, great to have you with us on the program. WTBN Tampa. KPDQ in Portland. Thanks for being part of the program. And KGU in Honolulu. Is my voice carrying well all the way into Honolulu? Thanks for joining us on The Line of Fire. We've been on the air daily for about 3 years now, but just coming your way on these stations. And the purpose of the show is to be a voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. I believe as Jesus changes us, we go change our world. Not through the means of the world, not through anger, hatred, violence, intimidation. No. Through living out the gospel in the society, it will have a revolutionary impact. Today, I'm going to share some of my testimony with you. I'm also going to give you an overview for in terms of what we do on the program, what you can expect from day to day. And if you'd like to weigh in with some ideas, we'll be able to take some calls. Here's the number, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, the number to call. If you are wondering about, I've got this question, I don't know who to ask. I've always wondered about what this means. Or, you know, I hear all these arguments about the end times. Or, you know, one theology says this, another says this. Someone says we should be in a house church, no church, mega church. I don't know which way to turn. Which Bible translation's bad? You know, it's confusion, Israel, the Middle East. Look, there's so much suffering in the world. Do we have answers for these things? And on. Those are the kind of things we talk about. But if you'd like to suggest a topic, if you'd like to call in and say, hey, could you address this topic on your show one day in the future? Or perhaps you could have this person on as a guest. Listen, the things I love to talk about the most are the things where someone has a different perspective than I do. So if you'd like to weigh in with a potential topic, if you'd like to weigh in with something you'd like us to talk about, perhaps a guest you'd like me to have on, give us a call at 866-34-TRUTH or go to my Facebook page. That's Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. You can weigh in there. You can share your thoughts there. And simple question for you, what would you like us to address or talk about? My own story is a dramatic testimony to the mercy of God. You know, I think God delights in using people like me because he gets the glory and he gets the credit and he gets the honor. I think that when he takes someone like me and uses someone like me, say, to debate rabbis or agnostics or gay activists or whoever it is that I'm debating, I think there's a smile from heaven because God knows that this guy that's debating a rabbi and this guy that's taking on a famous scholar at the university was huffing diesel gas one day, was huffing diesel gas to get high on Long Island, was shooting heroin at the age of 15, broke into a doctor's office, stole money from his own father, was decadent, lost. First time I went to a church service was to pull my friends out. I'm Jewish, so I didn't believe in Jesus, and I had no interest in God at that stage of my life. First time I went into a church service was to pull my best friends out. And one young lady who knew me from high school wrote down in her diary, Antichrist comes to church. I was a wicked, lost, foul kid who did not fear God, didn't know the Lord, was steeped in sin, and before 1971 was out, I was transformed. I was changed. I was brand new. So I'm going to talk to you about that. I'm going to share some of my testimony from LSD to PhD, share some of my heart for revolution, tell you where we're going on the broadcast, and take some of your calls, starting with Jason in Jacksonville. You'll be up first. Oh, and the most special thing of all about today, celebrating 35 years of marriage. Happy anniversary to my bride. Thank God for bringing us together. Back with more right here on The Line of Fire.
fire we
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you so much for joining us today on the Line of Fire, where we seek day in, day out to be a voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity in the midst of a society in chaos and a church all too often in compromise. The good news is Jesus remains the answer. And as we throw ourselves on him and follow him, we will see the church awaken. We will see the nation shaken. Hey, with God, all things are possible, right? 866-34-TRUTH. Tell you what, if you've been listening to us regularly or on and off over the last 3 years and would like to call in and tell our new listeners in Atlanta and Tampa and Portland, Honolulu, we just did another hour with folks in New York, Washington, D.C., Houston, Boston, Miami. We'll be greeting a whole bunch more listeners in a few more minutes. If you want to call in and tell the new listeners what to expect on the Line of Fire, feel free to do that as well, 866-34-TRUTH. And if you're just tuning in for the first time, or if you're a new listener on one of these new stations, then by all means, tell us what you'd love for me to address. I know, here, hang on. Some of you had a favorite for like the last 311 years, you've been listening to the same person at the same time in the same routine in your day. And now there's this new guy who's on instead of your favorite. I'm really sorry. I'm truly sorry. But tell you what, you probably didn't like that person the first day or fully understand them the first day or know everything they were saying the first day. So keep listening, because as you keep listening, here's what's going to happen to you. You'll be thinking. You'll be challenged to think afresh. You'll be sparked in your own spiritual life to go after God more deeply. Oh, yeah, that'll happen. You'll be more conscious of what God is saying in the midst of the chaos of this world. You'll have a kingdom perspective to bring, be it in the midst of a tragedy like Japan or a horrific terrorist attack that just took place in Israel. Or just, hey, when you're hearing five different guys preaching five different messages about the same subject and trying to figure out, how do I sort this out? We'll help you do that day in, day out on the Line of Fire. Mondays, we especially leave wide open so that we can just respond to things that may have happened over the weekend, newsworthy, spiritually worthy, that may have happened over the weekend. So Mondays can go in any number of different directions. Tuesdays, we're focusing in particular on things relating to scripture, apologetics, those types of questions, theology. We can vary if there's something earth-shattering to discuss, but especially try to focus on that. In fact, tomorrow we'll be playing excerpts of an interview of a man I believe has preached the gospel to more people than anyone's ever lived. Wednesday, we focus especially on moral and cultural issues, not from a political perspective, but from a kingdom perspective. Thursday, focus especially on things having to do with Israel and the Jewish people, which you'll find out are absolutely relevant for you as a believer. And then Fridays, you've got questions, we've got answers, where you can call in with anything that relates to our areas of expertise. We'll respond to emails that are sent into our website to askdrbrown.org and have a fascinating time digging in together and learning together. So again, if you'd like to weigh in, something you'd like us to tackle, some question you've wrestled with for years, something maybe splitting your church, you don't have to mention the church, you don't have to mention the people, you can mention the issue, and we can really discuss the issues. I'm going to share some of my testimony with you shortly, but first, let's grab a call. Jason in Jacksonville, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me on the program. I think about a month ago, you were talking about the timeline as far as a pre-trib rapture. I don't remember the specifics. You said something that was a little bit different than what the traditional approach was, and I was hoping you could just expand upon that.
Okay. Now, are you sure that I was talking about a timeline for a pre-trib rapture? You're sure it was this show?
I'm not absolutely sure. I remember you were talking about those types of things, and I remember it was something that intrigued me because I believe the subject was about the pre-trib rapture, and I believe that you were talking about how you thought that something you had said it differed a little bit differently than what I had been taught as far as the pre-trib rapture, and it was something I was just hoping you could expand upon. Maybe I'm just way off base here, but I thought that's what you were...
All right, no, we have talked about it. Yeah, there definitely wasn't a timeline that I was giving, but tell you what, Jason, I'm going to respond to that briefly, but that is on my list of questions that we'll be addressing in real depth in the weeks to come. Also, right. What you can do, if you go to my website, AskDrBrown.org, and then just do a search either for rapture or pre-trib or dispensationalism. If you'll search for that, you'll get some further information. All right?
Okay. Yes, sir.
All right. Just a brief response. Hey, I just got a special guest has walked into the studio beaming. Can you believe that we've been married 35 years now? Isn't that wild? Here's the scenario. All right. Here's the scenario. I got saved in 1971, heroin shooting, rebellious teenage Jewish rock drummer, right? We're in a little Italian Pentecostal church. Figure out, I mean, of all places for God to bring somebody, all right? I get saved there in 1971, and now I'm saved for a few years. We're into 1974, and a young lady walks in. I was 19, she was 19, and she's red-haired, Jewish. Her mom had been married 4 times. I didn't know that about her. I didn't know something even more important was that she, and she still got that beautiful red hair, the beautiful smile, she was a hardcore atheist. She became an atheist when she was 7 or 8 years old. She thought it would be wonderful if there was a God. It would be so wonderful if there was a God, but there is no God. By the time I met her at 19, she was a hardcore atheist. And you know, there's love at first sight. You see somebody and she didn't have love at first sight towards me. I was a little different than her cup of tea at that point. I was very devoted to the Lord. Well, we began to talk regularly, and God saved her. God opened her eyes. It wasn't my brilliant argument. What argument did you use, Dr. Brown, to win the atheist? The Holy Spirit touched her, opened her eyes. God brought us together. We were married in 1976, and after we were married for a while, I showed her an old picture from before I was saved. Old picture. And, you know, my hair was long then, and that got longer. And I got even worse looking in terms of more rebellious. But I didn't know I was going to get saved. I didn't know I was going to need a testimony picture. So this was the worst one I had. So my hair's growing long and the whole bit. And she sees it, and she starts laughing. And I said, okay, you're laughing because I look like a woman. She said, no, I'm laughing because you look like an ugly woman. And if you want to confirm that, if you want to confirm that her judgment was accurate then and is accurate now, go to askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org, and click on About Me, read my personal testimony, but watch it. You'll see a picture of me there. And if you differ with her, drop me a line and saying your wife was wrong, because that would actually be the first time now in 35 years of marriage and 37 years of knowing each other that she would have been wrong. But I don't think so. All right, let me grab a call from Joseph in Hawaii. Thanks for calling, sir.
Oh, yeah. Hi, my name is Joseph. I was just calling to say congrats on your anniversary. And, yeah, me and my brother always listen to you guys before we go to class. We go to school at Leeward Community College. And, yeah, it's very encouraging. Thanks a lot.
Oh, yeah, so we're on in the morning there. What are you studying in school?
Oh, I'm studying for digital media, and yeah, trying to major in that and hopefully do something in the ministry with video and stuff.
Yeah, digital media can really be used to change the world, can really be used for revolutionary purposes. So we are now on KGU in Honolulu. I'm not sure where you are in Hawaii. Looks like it was a city that they couldn't spell. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's you know Pearl Harbor?
Sure.
Yeah, it's like right around the harbor. Our city is really small.
Got it. Well, Joseph, keep pressing into the Lord. I'm glad that you and your brother listen regularly and get the word out on KGU in Honolulu. I'll have to do a special rally for our listeners in Hawaii. I'll make a sacrifice and come down your way. All right, thanks for calling in, Joseph. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
You know, it has not been lost on me that the day that a book comes out I've been working on for 6-plus years, A Queer Thing Happened to America, where I talk about how America has been transformed in many negative, destructive ways through gay activism. People whom we care about, people for whom Jesus died, people who in their minds are fighting for equality and tolerance and what they believe is right, but I would say are actually doing things that are destructive in our society and undermining the very foundations of our society, male-female order, from our pre-K schools up through university, through the media, through the government. I wrote this book, A Queer Thing Happened to America. Worked on it on and off for over 6 years. Massive research behind it. I strongly encourage all of you to go online, Amazon.com, and order a copy of the book. Just came out today, sitting here on my desk. It was not lost on me that it comes out on our 35th wedding anniversary. Marriage, family, is the foundation of the world. We do not want to mess with the foundations of human society, marriage, family. And I'll tell you, a God-blessed, healthy marriage where you work together to honor the Lord and honor each other, there's nothing like this in this world. It is the foundation of what God is doing here in the world. And for those of you who are in the midst of a marital struggle, do what it takes with the help of the Lord to work things out, and you will be blessed. All right, we come back. I'm going to get into a bit more of my testimony and tell you what you can expect in the next few weeks right here on the Line of Fire. If there's something you'd like us to talk about on the show, I'm going to come back to the question about the end times in a moment. If you'd like us to bring something up on the broadcast, by all means, give us a call right here, 866-34-TRUTH. Back with you in a moment.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us today on the Line of Fire. Michael Brown, absolutely delighted to be with you. If you'd like to weigh in, if you have a thought on a subject you'd like us to take up here on the Line of Fire, theological, biblical, cultural, moral, having to do with Israel, Jewish people, apologetics, Bible translation, those kinds of things, give us a call, 866-34-TRUTH, or weigh in on our Facebook page. If you're not part of that, every day we post something on Facebook, a question, something we're going to discuss during that day. We post it on Facebook. Ask Dr. Brown, ask Dr. Brown on Facebook, so you can get involved with the discussion there. We're asking folks to post some thoughts, topics you'd like us to address. Previous caller asked me about the end times. I'm not getting into in-depth answers about these things today, but we will discuss issues having to do with pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, on-mill, pre-mill, post-mill, and not in a way so as to divide everybody, okay? The first thing we'll try to do is see where each group may have an insight, may have some important truth from Scripture, because I don't believe any one group is entirely right or entirely wrong on every detail. I know you are, your church. That was me as well. I am very dogmatic on a number of things. There are hills I will die on. There are truths I will die for. And there are other things I'm doing my best along with everybody else to understand what Scripture says. And the biggest issue is always, how then should I live? Let me tell you what is coming. This is a time-sensitive subject. We couldn't wait too long to do it. A week from tomorrow, we had invited on Mr. Harold Camping himself, but he declined to come on. I want to discuss the fact that they say, Harold Camping and Family Bible Fellowship, their group, that Jesus is coming back May 21st of this year. I'm going to do a show, God willing, next week on why Jesus is not coming May 21st of this year. Again, time sensitive. We have to get this in a certain time. We asked Mr. Campy to come on, but trust me, we're gonna ask a whole lot of folks to come on. Go ahead and share your view. I won't be nasty with you. I want to attack you. Go ahead and share your view, and I will explain to you where I agree or where I differ, and then you, our dear listeners, can call in, can take issues up, can think these things through, can go to our website afterwards, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire, and then you can dig in there. You can listen to the podcast. We do 2 hours a day. Some stations have first hour, some stations the second hour, some just a half hour. So whatever segment you get, you can listen to everything later in the day, online, by podcast, and then you can weigh in at AskDrBrown.org and by clicking on the Line of Fire. I was saved in a pre-trib environment. I have not been pre-trib for 35-plus years. Many of the closest folks I work with in the Lord are pre-trib, and we have a passion for the return of Jesus, but we'll take those issues up. Pearl Harbor was mentioned a moment ago, and of course, that immediately brings to mind the horrible reports out of Japan, as they're saying that this is the worst calamity and worst disaster since World War II. We do want to talk about the problem of suffering. We will devote shows to it. In fact, I'm in the early stages of working on a commentary in the book of Job that deals with these very issues of suffering and evil. But what I want to do right now this week is make available to you online a 2-hour debate that I did with Professor Bart Ehrman about the Bible and the problem of suffering. We'll have that online for you, 2 hours video you can watch for free on our website. It should be up the next day or two. We'll tell you as soon as it's available. This way you can watch a 2-hour serious debate where we really take these subjects up in depth and hopefully minister some truth and grace to you as well. All right, looks like our day for Honolulu. David, thank you for calling in from Honolulu. Looks like the signal is loud and clear in Hawaii today.
You bet.
Yes, sir. What's on your mind?
Well, I just had a question. You know, I've been hearing a lot about preordained salvation before the beginning of the world and stuff.
Yes.
Can you expand upon that? Because I've heard different versions of it, how some people are preordained to be saved and others are not, even though the salvation is open to all, but some are ordained to be saved and others are not going to be.
Yes, David. This is a subject that we've debated on the air in the past and absolutely plan to debate again. I had a gentleman with me, Dr. James White, came on the program with me because he's one of the top apologists today dealing with all kinds of questions, dealing with atheists, dealing with Muslims, and he's also a strong Calvinist, so he would believe that God has preordained some to salvation before the foundation of the world. I actually held to those beliefs for about 5 years from 77 to 82, and don't anymore, but I can passionately argue both sides. In fact, I did a talk here in Charlotte, North Carolina last year where I passionately presented the Calvinistic view. Then I passionately presented what would be called the Arminian view. And then I asked people to guess which side they thought I was on, what I actually believed. And it was pretty well divided. Most people got it right that I was no longer a Calvinist, but I can argue the points passionately. We will be taking that up on the broadcast, future broadcast, but for right now, here's what I'd encourage you to do. Go to my website, askdrbrown.org, and just do a search for Calvinism. And you'll find several hours of debates with links to other debates that I did with Dr. White. And I think you'll find them very helpful. There is important truth on each side. A Calvinist would have a great emphasis on God being in control and God ruling and reigning and him being central. And we bow down to him and don't question him. An Arminian would have a great emphasis on the mercy of God being poured out on all human beings and God giving the opportunity of salvation to all. But I think if you listen to those debates, they'll really be helpful to you. And then stay tuned to the broadcast. We'll take them up in future weeks as well, okay?
Okay.
All right. Thank you, David. God bless you. Yeah, today, again, I'm not getting into in-depth answers. Friday would be more of our day when we do that. Again, tomorrow we'll be playing excerpts of an interview with a man I believe has preached the gospel to more people than anyone who's ever lived. And we'll be asking the question, what can we expect? Can we expect to see the power of God today? Can we expect to see Jesus moving today the way he moved in Bible days? Is that past? Is that just hype? Is that some exaggerated preacher on TV? Or should that be the norm? We'll talk about that. And I'm just looking at the clock here. On the other side of the break, I'm going to take you back into the 60s. I'm going to talk about what happened in the counterculture revolution. I'm going to talk about the door that was open for me to pursue a life of destruction. And I want to say to each and every one of you listening, wherever you find yourself, if you know deep down in your heart, as you're walking with God, as you're studying the Word, if you know there must be something more, you know, that was a driving force in the 60s. People knew there must be more than just making a living and getting an education and going on with normal life, but they looked for the most part in the wrong places. If you know there must be more, maybe you've been saved all your life, maybe you're a faithful church-going person, maybe you pastor a leading church in your city, or maybe you've never even believed in God, here you are today. If you know deep down in your heart there must be more, you are absolutely on target. You are absolutely going in the right direction. So stay with us after the break. I'll share some of my testimony from LSD to PhD. I'll share more what I believe we can expect in terms of a real Jesus revolution, a society-transforming, gospel-based move I believe can still happen in America. I do not believe it's too late for our country. I do not believe it is too late for our country. Join us online, AskDrBrown.org. Back with you on the other side of the break.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, there are three major things that happened today. Number one, Nancy and I celebrate 35 years of marriage. Get to go out for a wonderful dinner tonight, eat whatever in the world we want without any sense of guilt or having to rebuke the calories. That's one. Then two, a book I've worked on for 6+ years just came out today, A Queer Thing Happened to America. I'll tell you more about that, especially on Wednesday of this week. And three, we get to welcome new listeners all over the country. So right now, love to welcome in those WFIL Philadelphia. All right, WHKW Cleveland. KRKS in Denver, KPXQ in Phoenix, and you're hearing me, but just a slightly delayed, KPRZ in San Diego. Thanks for joining us on The Line of Fire. Truly, it is our goal to be a voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. If you'd like to give us a call with some thoughts about topics you'd like us to take up, Monday's wide open after we see what's happened over the weekend, which way we go on a Monday. Tuesdays, we focus especially on things having to do with Bible, theology, ministry-related questions. Wednesday, moral, cultural issues. Thursday, Israel, Jewish people issues. Friday, you've got questions, we've got answers. The phone lines are open to anything related to our expertise in The Line of Fire at all. If you'd like to suggest some things that we talk about, 866-34-TRUTH, or go to our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. I was almost destroyed through the counterculture revolution of the 60s. Born in New York City, raised on Long Island, good upbringing. My dad was senior lawyer of the New York Supreme Court. I was bar mitzvahed at the age of 13, but I was not a religious Jew. The synagogue I attended on the high holidays they had to build an annex. They had hundreds and hundreds of people. But for a weekly synagogue service, sometimes they didn't even have 10 men to pray. My dad would get an emergency call to join them so they'd have what's called a minyan, a quota of 10 for prayer. So I was bar mitzvah when I was 13, but can I tell you the truth? It did not have any religious or spiritual impact on me. In fact, I had to chant a passage in Hebrew. I never asked what the passage meant in English, and no one ever told me. So I just chanted words. That's all, it was just meaningless words. That's what I thought Judaism was. That was my only exposure to it. So now, 13 years old, start going to my first rock concert, Jimi Hendrix Heerman concert. I'm 13 years old. Wow, I want to be like the rock stars, and they're so different, and the clothes they wear, and the hair, and the sound of the music, and playing drums. I was caught up with that. And there was a song by Jefferson Airplane, White Rabbit. Remember this one? It was the drug anthem for the day. Remember the words? One pill makes you larger, one pill makes you small. Man, it was stepped into another world. Some of you listening, you're starting to get to that world. Keep your eyes on the road, drive carefully. But there was a change in the culture.
One pill makes you larger,
yeah. I took those pills. Mind expanding, mind bending. 14 years old, started getting high. Why? Because I was on a spiritual search? No. Because I was looking for God? No. Because I was disturbed in my personal life? No. Because my family was in turmoil? None of the above. Just that's what the rock stars did. Come on. You think your kids can watch movies, watch videos, get online, watch their latest YouTube star, and not be influenced by those people? Not want to be like them? Not want to do the dance moves they do, not want to dress the way they dress, not want to break the rules the way they break the rules. You're kidding yourself, friend, if you think that the culture that surrounds us, the idols of the day, do not impact us. So here I am, 14 years old, suburbs of Long Island. I start getting high. But I found out early on that I had a high resistance to drugs. Because of that high resistance to drugs, I quickly got into heavier and heavier and heavier drugs. By the time I was 15, I was shooting heroin, and my identity was now drug bear. There is a Jesus end to the story. More of that on the other side of the break.
Shake the nation, change the world. Change the world.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us today on The Line of Fire. Again, if you are tuning in for the first time, maybe I'm replacing your favorite show for the last decade, but keep listening. You'll be charged. You'll be encouraged. You'll be equipped. You'll get thinking. You'll be changed so you can go and change your world. I have no desire to entertain anybody. I have no desire to just do a radio show or to teach at a seminary or to travel and preach or to go on the mission field unless lives will be changed, unless people will encounter God, encounter his truth, and out of that encounter will go and live differently. That's why we're here, isn't it? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. If there's a subject you'd like us to address, talk about on the air today, give us a buzz, 866-34-TRUTH. So here I am, product of the 1960s counterculture revolution, 14 years old, start getting high, 15 years old, start shooting heroin. My whole identity gets caught up, drug bear, Iron Man. I can do more drugs than anyone in my school. Our band is doing well. I'm playing drums well for my age. Was playing on a studio album when I was 15 years old. And now we're going to be stars. We're going to be, you know, awesome. The fact is our lives were being destroyed. My life was getting destroyed by drugs. My mind was getting fried. In fact, if you want another anthem that described who I was, and these groups I mentioned, Jefferson Airplane, saw them in concert. Led Zeppelin saw them in concert numerous times. It was the Zeppelin song, Dazed and Confused. It was kind of the sound of my generation. This is what was going on in my life. Oh, yeah. I was high, man. I was cool. I had my long hair. I played those drums. Oh, yeah, man. This was me.
Dazed and confused for so long, it's not true.
Hey, man.
Wanted a
cool.
Woman never bargained for you.
Yep. Now, 1971, my two best friends start getting interested in these two girls who were going to church. None of them were believers, but their dad had been praying for them for years. They started to come to church, and the church, you know, they talked about angels and demons, and that was very interesting. And the pastor talked a lot about prophecy. I kid you not. He talked about prophecy and talked about things like, beasts coming out of a bottomless pit with 12 heads and 7 horns. And my friends would come and tell me, and we'd just sit around and go, wow, that's cool. Because this is the kind of stuff we'd see in our hallucinations. But little by little, God started dealing with these girls, then dealing with the guys. I went to pull these folks out of church, 71. They started praying for me. Older folks, I mean like 40 and 50. I'm going to turn 56 on Wednesday. I better be careful. But there were all these older folks. They welcomed me as 16-year-old hippie, radical, rebellious, nasty, foul-mouthed kid. And they started praying for me. And the Holy Spirit started to convict me of sin. The Holy Spirit started to touch me. And before you knew it, I was wrestling. November of 71, for the first time, I believed that Jesus died for my sins. You got to remember, I'm Jewish. I didn't believe this. Now we got a problem. On the one hand, I know what's right, and I know what I should do. On the other hand, I'm not willing to change. So I wrestled for 5 weeks back and forth, back and forth. In fact, November 12th of 71, the night I first believed Jesus died for me, I said, God, I know what you want me to do, but I'm not willing to do it. So I'm going home, and I'm shooting cocaine, and I'm getting high. And if you don't want me to do this, don't let it have any effect on me. And I went home, and I smoked some potent drug, and I took a large amount of cocaine. I shot at my veins, and nothing happened. And I realized, something's going on here. Five-week battle, back and forth, December 17th of 71. Now you gotta understand. Joey, I still play drums, sure do, but with a whole different spirit and attitude now. I go into this church. Now, remember, it's not contemporary Christian rock. You don't have a big band up there with 15 musicians and a light show, okay? You didn't have that. You didn't have an unbelievable guitar solo. You know, and you quit worshiping to watch the guitar. It's like, wow, this guy can play. No. There's a piano player, sometimes a guitar player joining with him, playing these little hymns, these ditties, these...
My heart, yeah. Bearing the melody.
That was one of the songs. That was one of the songs we say, in my heart there rings a melody, there sings a melody of heaven's harmony. I got so full of joy. I kid you not. Singing these songs. One day, Dazed and Confused, The next day in my heart, there rings a melody. One day, Purple Haze. The next day, Softly and Tenderly. I'm singing these songs. I am so full of joy. I realize, wait, hang on. This is different. This must be what they call the joy of the Lord. And suddenly, I got a revelation. As a 16-year-old, rebellious, heroin-shooting kid, I got a revelation of how much God loved me. It was as if I saw that Jesus washed me clean from head to toe from the filth of my life. It was as clear as day in my mind's eye. And I was now clothed in a beautiful white robe, and I was going out and playing in the mud. And right then and there, I said, that's it. I will never put a needle in my arm again. And I got changed. I got transformed at that very moment. Never put a needle in my arm from that point on. 2 days later, quit any kind of drugs. And a few months later, I thought, you know, I'm changed. I'm living a new life. I could lead a clean but empty life, or I could give myself to God the way I gave myself to drugs. And I started to pursue God. I read the word more. I prayed more, read the word more, prayed more. I had a light high school schedule. By the time I was a believer for a year, I was reading the word and praying at least 6 or 7 hours a day, read through the Bible a good 5 times before I started preaching when I was 18. Used to memorize 20 verses out of the Bible every single day. And what happened was my dad was thrilled to see the change in my life. He said, that's wonderful, but you need to talk to the rabbis. You need to talk to the rabbis because, you know, they have the truth. So I would meet with them and, well, this is my heritage and my background. I met with sincere rabbis, Orthodox rabbis that were very devoted, more than any Jews I had met. And they all challenged me the same way. You don't even know Hebrew. You know, how can you teach us? You don't know Hebrew. And I felt, you know, I've had a life-changing experience, but I should know Hebrew. I should be able to answer. And that's what led me to my Hebrew studies in college, ultimately to a PhD in Near Eastern Languages and Literatures from New York University, because I wanted to study, I wanted to be able to look at the sources for myself, and I wanted not to rely on a commentary or another scholar, but to be able to say, I know what I believe, I'm sure, I'm convinced, I'm convicted. And the more I studied, that's the neat thing, the clearer everything became. But I want to say this as plainly as I can. The way God saved me did not give me a love for Christendom in general or for traditional Christianity. The way God saved me gave me a passion for him so I could follow him with heart and soul all the days of my life. I do not believe Jesus came into the world to establish a lovely home and garden Sunday morning religion called Christianity with Easter egg hunts and cantatas and so on. And that's what he came for. So we can build a beautiful steeple and have beautiful choir robes. And hey, if you go to a church services and it's a beautiful building with a steeple and choir robes, that's not the issue. The issue is Jesus came to bring about radical change. Jesus came to bring the kingdom of God. Jesus taught radical prayers like your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That means out with the old and in with the new. He told his followers they had to leave everything to follow him. He brought a message of liberation to the captives. You know how you sum those things up? Message of liberation, leave everything, follow me, give yourself to the cause. Life as it is not worth living, but the cause is worth dying for. Out with the old and in with a better world, a better kingdom. You know what you call that? Revolution. But not the way people do it, not the worldly way. Anger, hatred, intimidation, rebellion, violence. And violence begets more violence, and anger begets more anger, and hatred begets more hatred. The Jesus way is overcome hatred with love. The Jesus way is put down the weapons of the flesh and fight these things in the realm of the spirit. I honestly believe, friends, it's not hype. It's not just someone sitting behind a mic talking. I honestly believe that we can see a moral culture revolution come to our society. I honestly believe that it's not too late for America. I honestly believe that as we have a fresh encounter with God, we recover that first love, we recover that intimacy, we recover that devotion where Jesus is everything. As we do that, friends, I honestly believe that an awakened church can impact the society. Martin Luther King said the church must be reminded it's not the master or the servant of the state, but the conscience of the state. That's our role here as salt and light. And it's our purpose here with the Line of Fire broadcast to serve as a voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity, to serve as a voice calling us back to the Word so that we can live this thing out before God. Listen, we've got some special resources on revolution, books, CD, that'll bless you, that'll stir you. Got a special announcement. Stay tuned. We want to put these in your hands so that you can be a world changer. Back with more. Shake the nation, change the world.
When Dr. Brown's book Revolution, The Call to Holy War was released in September of 2000, it became an instant classic, and more than 70,000 copies were given out the very first day. The message of this book is more urgent today than the day it was published, and you can receive a free copy with your order of Dr. Brown's MP3 series on Revolution, featuring 8 life-changing messages including Fear of God or Fear of Man, Save to Serve, and Others Can, You Can't. These 8 messages on one CD are yours today for just $20. And with your order, we'll include a free copy of Dr. Brown's 330-page book, Revolution, a $34 value for just $20. Call now at 1-800-278-9978 to place your order. That's 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978.
God of light, hear our cry.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us, friends, on the Line of Fire, especially all of our first-time listeners. Get to know us. We're actually on 2 full hours a day. You can only catch 1 hour on your station or a half hour on your station. But later in the day, catch up with us online, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. Again, I work with pastors, churches from every different background, house church, mega church. I love whatever God is doing in the earth. My issue is with Christendom. My issue is when we take the power out of the gospel and put our emphasis on other things. And a Jesus revolution will do the exact opposite of that. About 7 years ago, God spoke to me quite out of the blue. Reach out and resist. Another part of the cultural revolution that we're in the midst of right now is that our society is being transformed by gay activists who believe they're doing what's right, fighting for equality and tolerance. In point of fact, those who came out of the closet are trying to put us in the closet. There is a massive conflict these days between religious freedoms and sexual freedoms, and religious freedoms are losing every day in the courts here in America, different parts of the world. I deal with that in my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, which is available now. But the word I received, the word that has burned in my heart, reach out and resist. Reach out to the people with compassion. Resist the activist agenda with courage. I want you to know this is not something we can avoid, friends. This is not something that's just happening somewhere else. In fact, let's deal with this live. Hey, Jeanette, thanks for holding so much. I understand you've got a personal family situation that you want to talk about.
Yes, I was calling mostly for prayer because I've alienated my family of origin by coming out of Mormonism to become Christian, and I risk alienating my daughter now because she is a professing lesbian, and I don't want to alienate her. I just want her to be happy, and it gets kind of lonely now.
Yeah, so you live in Salt Lake City, and you've alienated your natural family by coming to faith.
Correct.
And how many years ago was that? How long ago was that, Jeanette?
I originally left back in 98, but after my father died, I tried to go back to Mormonism, and about 6 months ago, left it again.
All right. Are you part of a fellowship with people who believe as you do now?
Yes. I found a nice Baptist church out
All right,
here.
Good.
So.
Good. Thank God. Yeah. And how old is your daughter, Jeanette?
She's 25.
And how long has she been open about being a lesbian?
About 4 years.
Okay. She understands your beliefs that you believe that homosexual practice is contrary to the scriptures, correct?
Right. She understands them just by nature of the fact that I'm a Christian.
Right. So that's not something that you need to be hitting her over the head with. She already understands that. She's obviously
right,
dealing with a lot of internal conflict, even if she claims to be happy and fulfilled. Because she was raised a certain way, she's definitely got conflict that she's dealing with. God may be working in her life. The best thing that you could do is, of course, understand the only way that she can find full happiness and full satisfaction is by really coming to know the Lord and being set free by Him. But since she knows since she knows what you do believe, it's important now that you just show her unconditional love, that you pour yourself out for her as a mother to a daughter, just looking at her as a lost soul that needs the love of God. you don't need to be reminding her of things in terms of what you believe. She's aware of that. This is something that you fight in secret prayer. And when we're done talking, Jeanette, I'm going to put you on hold. We're going to get your address. There's a resource I want to send you for free called God's Grace and the Homosexual Next Door that was edited by a friend of mine, Alan Chambers. And it will really give you insight to people who've come out of lesbianism and other aspects of homosexuality, as well as a mom, as a family member, how to reach out, things to do and things not to do. But she needs you as a mom right now. She's got a loneliness of her own. And if you're just there as her friend, don't worry about being identified with her. Don't worry about being seen with her. You just show her unconditional love and pray for her in secret. And we will call for our listening audience to join in praying for Jeanette's daughter to find the mercy of God, the love of God. And I want you to be encouraged, Jeanette, that all around America, God is saving people just like your daughter. And not only saving them, but bringing them to a place of restoration and healing and wholeness. And would it be okay if we prayed for you right now? Is that all right?
Yes.
All right, let's do that. I'm almost out of time, but we absolutely have time to pray. Father, I hold up Jeanette to you, and I pray that you would touch her first with the riches of your presence so that she would know you in a deeper way than ever before, that would more than take the place of all family members that have turned on her, and that you'd give her a supernatural love for her daughter that would break down barriers and walls that her daughter would not be able to resist. Bring this young lady to yourself, this 25-year-old, whatever hurts, pains, rejections she's dealing with, bring her to yourself, save her dramatically and gloriously, and may this mother and daughter serve you side by side. Hey, Jeanette, stay on hold there. We're going to get your name and address so that we can send you this resource. Friends, it's not coincidental to me that this call comes in, because this is the voice of America right now. There are so many people who are struggling. There are so many people who are hurting. There are so many people with questions. We, as the followers of Jesus, need to have the answer. We, as the followers of Jesus, cannot run away from this, put our head in the sand as if it's not happening. I talked to a pastor of a major church here in America who's friends with pastors of other major churches in his city, and he said, homosexuality is a topic nobody will even preach about, deal with. It's too controversial. Friends, we owe it to the people in our church. We owe it to the people in our neighborhood. We owe it to the Lord to speak the truth in love. As we do, the world may come against us. We may suffer resistance. That's just fine. Follow Jesus. Let me leave you with a quote from A.W. Tozer. He said this: religion today is not transforming people. Rather, it is being transformed by the people. It is not raising the moral level of society. It is descending to society's own level and congratulating itself that it has scored a victory because society is smilingly accepting its surrender. My bottom line, friends, is this: now is the time for us to take hold of the Lord like never before. Now is the time to look at the shaking taking place around the world, the riots in Muslim countries around the world, the upheaval in America, the terrible pain and tragedy in different parts of the world. Shaking is everywhere. This is not the time for us to be on the sidelines, sitting back, waiting for tomorrow, just trying to live a nice life. This is the time for us to take hold of the Lord, to live revolutionary lives as followers of Jesus, to say, here I am, send me, use me. Here I am on the front lines. Can you pray? Can you share the gospel? Can you give? Can you be a friend? What can you do if you'll make your life available to the Lord, not comparing yourself to someone else, not trying to be something God hasn't made you to be? If you will give yourselves unconditionally to him, I assure you he will give himself unconditionally to you, and your life will make a difference. If your heart says there must be more, if your heart is longing for usefulness and purpose in God, I want to encourage you. God is for you, not against you. Throw yourself into him, heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you will not be disappointed. Friends, visit us online, askdrbrown.org. If you'd like to stand with us as a monthly torchbearer, take advantage of some of our special resources. Call now, 800-278-9978. That's 800-278-9978. Back with you tomorrow, right here on the Line of Fire.